To the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. Praise the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that you gave us to lead us and guide us in this life, that we might know the way. Lord, we thank you that you are the way. We thank you paid for all our sins. Lord, I pray you speak to every heart that's here, especially those that have not found the way yet. I pray, Lord, that you illuminate the way for them. I pray that souls would be saved. I pray that your children would be revived. And we give you this morning, Father, all the honor and glory, for only thou art worthy to be praised. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this is a real beautiful story. And I'm not going to really speak on the whole story. I'm just going to, later on in my sermon, I'm going to speak a little bit about the Philippian jailer. But first of all, I'd like to really give you a background of my sermon, or rather the backdrop of the sermon, so you might understand what I'm talking about. First of all, in the Old Testament, you'll find it in the book of Numbers, chapter 35. We see where God spoke to Moses and he told him about setting apart six cities. These would be the cities of refuge. We see later on in Joshua chapter 20, where the Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, set six cities just for this purpose. They would be the cities of refuge. There would be three on one side of the Jordan and three on the other side. And these were going to be for one reason only, and that would be whenever somebody would kill somebody unawares. The Bible uses the word unawares. It uses also the word unwittingly. Nowadays, we use the word criminal negligent homicide. In other words, if you would kill somebody by throwing a rock, you didn't intend to kill nobody or hit nobody, but you hit somebody on the head and you killed them. You had a place to run. Because somebody was going to come after you. He would be the avenger of blood, the revenger, the one, his relatives, that would be coming after you. But you had these cities that you could go to and run to them, and you would be safe. And of course, right now also, we have a different circumstances where you are protected by the law until you are proven guilty in a court of law. And this is the same thing. They would go to this place. They couldn't come to you and touch you. You would come to the elders and they would allow you. They would not give your name or where you're staying at. You would be safe in those cities of refuge. But you know, one of the things about what the Bible says about these cities, it was for whosoever. In other words, this could happen to anybody. Nowadays, if you would be driving down the road and you get involved in an accident with somebody and the other person or somebody in the other car dies, and then they find out that you were speeding too fast for the conditions. You didn't yield right away. You ran the stop sign. You ran the red light. They can charge you with criminal negligent homicide. You didn't know the person. You didn't hate him. And that's exactly what the cities of refuge were for. Nevertheless, what I have read in different places, and it makes a lot of sense, that about once a year, they would go down these roads and they would clean it up, make sure that there was no obstacles. You didn't want somebody from your relatives, your son, your daughter, your wife, or even yourself, when the time comes that you need to run to this city of refuge, you wanted to make sure that you could get to it. You wanted to make sure that there would be no obstacles, no big rocks, no big tree has fallen along the side, that the limbs have grown and covered this track. You wanted to make sure that you could get to it. You wanted to make sure that the signs were still up, the ones that pointed to the city of refuge. There's no doubt in my mind that there were pranksters at that time, just like they are today. People nowadays, they go to different places and they'll yank the stop sign. thinking that it's just a big joke, and then somebody dies because they run through that place and they're involved in an accident. That has happened many times here in San Antonio and throughout the U.S. There's no doubt in my mind during that time there were probably guys who would go and say, oh, it points over there, let me put another arrow to point this way. And let me put another arrow to go this way. And then when the time comes, and is your uncle or is your brother or sister, and they come to this place, and they say, now which way do I go? It's pointing in all directions. It was necessary to check these roads to make sure that they would be able to find it. And of course, nowadays, beloved, the city of refuge is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is our refuge. That's what the Bible tells you. And you know, it's also necessary for us to occasionally come in and get rid of all those rocks that are in the way. It's necessary to point the straight road. That's what John the Baptist says when he came. He says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I think he's talking to Christians. He's talking to pastors. He's talking to those that are preachers. Because we need to make the path straight. You know one thing I know, the devil, ever since Cain and Abel, ever since the Garden of Eden, matter of fact, he's been trying to point people the wrong direction. He's been giving them to go different routes, and he has put a lot of signs throughout the centuries. And right now there's so much confusion, people don't know how to get to that refuge. They don't know how to reach Christ. I find so many things, and that's why it is necessary, beloved, that today I should try to clear the road so that you will be able to see it. The Apostle Paul says to take heed, lest any man deceive you with philosophy and vain deceit. Jesus says, beware lest any man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you, he says. But you know, Paul also says, if somebody comes preaching another gospel, you know that there's another gospel? It's the gospel of good works. That's not the gospel that God preached. There's also another Jesus. The Jesus that I serve, he died about 2,000 years ago. He was buried and he rose again and he sits at the right hand of the Father, never to be crucified again. Right. Nevertheless, I see another Jesus. It's the Jesus that they keep hanging on the wall. It's the Jesus that they bring down from heaven, supposedly, and that they crucify every Sunday. I didn't realize that. They had kept me in the dark. I used to belong to religion up until I was 36 years old. I didn't know these things. They kept me ignorant. But you know, the devil also has put right along the way, he has put signs on that road that say, you're too bad. You can't make it. And some will turn. I found so many of those. There's also a sign that says, you're already good. And people turn back and say, yeah, that's right, I am good. I haven't killed nobody. There's other signs that the devil has put down that says, there is no God. I had a friend of mine that just died recently. He never believed there was a God. Apparently his wife didn't believe either, and when he died, they didn't call nobody. They just made a hole and buried him. What a shame. They were fooled. There's also a sign that says, there is no hell. I have found that so many times. That's what so many religions teach, that there is no hell. Some say, hey, there's 72 virgin ladies waiting for you when you come over here. It's another lie. And you know, another lie that I see also quite frequently when I talk to people is that I got time to wait. These are signs that people see along the road. That's why, my friend, it's so important that we remove these obstacles this morning. It's actually just time to start moving all these things so that you can see the path straight. There's no doubt in my mind that there'll be some in here that still can't see too clear. I was 36 years old. My wife was also the same age. We had both graduated from college. We thought we were very smart, yet we had been fooled by religion. I had never read the scriptures. They would never read me the scriptures. They would read me little things that they just wanted me to read, but there was a lot of them that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you some this morning that they didn't read to me. That's why they kept me blind. They also took away my Bible. They I had no Bible. Nobody took a Bible. They gave me a little book. It was called a Misalette. That's why I was misled. Some people are given another book called the Watchtower or the Pearl of Great Price, the Quran. The devil has given all kinds of signs. He has cluttered the road. A matter of fact, that's why Jesus says, few there be that find it.
Right.
There's only a narrow road. The devil has already closed it up, and he's opened up a big white road, and he says, look, this is the one with lights. This is where everybody travels. Everybody goes real happily down that road, and it leads to destruction. That's what Jesus says. That's what he said, few there be that find it. But you know, that's why the Bible, the apostle, John the Baptist says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I'm going to try to make it straight this morning. I want you to go, first of all, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Praise the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. I didn't realize the importance of the name of Jesus. Now, I had been brought up as a little child. I had gone to catechism. I had been taught about Jesus. We would read every time I'd go to church the Apostles' Creed. I knew about Jesus, but they also would tell me, and we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it seemed like everything was okay. But I didn't realize how important the name of Jesus was. I didn't realize that salvation was only through his name. I thought it could be through other things. That's how I had been led to believe. I remember the times that I would hear the rosary. Every one of you that's here, and probably about more than half of you had been Catholics, you know what I'm talking about. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Over and over and over. Why would somebody give me that? Yet if you read their history, and this is what I have in my Catholic Bible, it says in there that this began many hundreds of years ago. It was some woman that appeared, supposedly Mary, and she says, pray to me the Hail Mary and tell it to me 150 times. You know that the Hail Mary has 50 times Hail Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace. The Our Father only 10 times. It's not by coincidence. It's not by slip of the mind. It's intentional. That way you will look at her and say, well, she must really be the one. That's why they hadn't showed me this verse. I didn't see this verse until I was 36 years old. I could have died many times and gone straight to hell before that. My life was in danger many times. I fought for my life many times. I won't tell you stories. I've got many I can tell you. I just thank the Lord that I was alive. Amen. Until somebody witnessed to me and the Lord saved my soul. Amen. They hadn't told me this in religion, that there was only one name. There wasn't many names. Why would they tell me she's the Mother of God? To confuse you? The devil has cluttered that road. The devil has put many obstacles. If I would say, okay, so God has a mother, then he must also have a father. And if that's a mother, then she must have a mom and dad too. And on, do you see? That's why Jesus says, take heed, lest any man deceive you with philosophy and the traditions of men. He says, take heed lest any man deceive you. You know, it was so necessary, beloved, to read the scriptures. That's why God left us the scriptures, so he can point us straight to God. Amen. You're still responsible. Right. You can't say, well, nobody taught me. That's why it's so sad when I see somebody from my relatives that they die, like my dad. And then I hear a priest say, well, he went to heaven because he was one of us and we had baptized him. I know better. I knew my dad. But you know, I didn't realize that the Bible also says in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow.
Amen.
In heaven, on earth,
Amen.
And under the earth. And every lip shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
They hadn't told me those things. I didn't realize that we all had to bow to Him. Why would not we bow to Mary? Or why not bow to somebody else? It is only the name of Jesus, the only thing that can save you. But the devil has put many obstacles. He has put many blocks on the road. He has put you different signs. He's twisted the signs. He's covered the signs. And people don't know. That's why Jesus says, few there be that find it. The only way you can find it, my friend, and it don't matter what kind of degree you have. It don't matter what kind of position you have. Only way you're going to find Him is if you stick to His Word. This is what God has given you. His Word is magnified above His name. He has given us His Word. You know, I used to see many times a Jesus, supposedly, that would say, I am the way. But I didn't know the remainder. Not until I was 36 years old and somebody would give me gospel tracts. Every day for 2 weeks they gave me gospel tracts. The Lord began to convict me, and I would come home and I'd compare it with my Catholic Bible. You know, it tells you the truth also. And I would come and read it, and I would see, you know, I had never realized that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
I thought it was by somebody else. They had taught me that if you couldn't make it through the front door, go around the back. Mary will open the door for you. And they would use philosophy. They would say, isn't that the way it is here? Your dad's always very mean, but your mom's always saying, come on, mijito. And they fool you to tell you that Mary will open the back door. But that's not so, my friend. Jesus says, I am the way, and there is no other way.
Right.
I am the truth. There is no other truth.
Right.
I am the life. The only life you can get is going to be through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me take you now somewhere else where I see. Go to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. This is another thing that I have found that is very common, that people have been fooled as they are trying to get to that refuge, and they're trying to reach Jesus. They've been fooled by something extremely strong. This has probably been going on since Cain. Cain thought that he could get to God by offering the fruits of his labor. And God told him, no, that's not what pleases me. And throughout eternity, throughout thousands of years we have been in this world, people have been fooled by the devil. They have thought that maybe it is their goodness. I find this to be mostly true of women. Men, we're usually the dogs. We know we're on the way to hell. We know we're bad. Nobody has to tell us that. We know how bad we think, how bad we are. Nobody has to convince you. If you have truth in you, you'll say, yeah, I deserve to go to hell. But women usually say, I'm not that bad. I didn't kill nobody. I didn't steal from the government. I've been faithful to my husband. But you know who I find even more who say those things is the elderly. Especially the elderly ladies. Over and over they've told me, I've always been good. I've always done that which is right. And we have here a young man that came to Jesus and asked him the same question as that Philippian jailer. He says, let me read it to you, chapter 10 of Mark, on verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Here's a man that's coming already and he kneels. Just like that Philippian jailer came in and he kneeled. Why would God, instead, before we go to the next base, he dealt with him right then and there? There is none good. Let's get this out of your head. First of all, there is none good. The only one that's good is God.
That's right.
And of course, who is God but the Lord Jesus?
Right.
He just doesn't want to be bragging on himself, but he said there is none good but one, and that is God.
Right.
In other words, there is none good. But yet the people have been fooled throughout the many thousands of years that they can get to God or to heaven, that they can get to that city of refuge, that they can get to the Lord by being good.
Right.
Let me tell you, God wants you to be good. He wants you to be a good example. He wants you to do that which is right. He wants you to live a holy life. But when you try to put all your goodness and say, well, this is what I've got to offer, God says that's nothing but dirty rags. That's exactly what the Bible says.
Amen.
And this man tried to put his dirty rags to Jesus. He says, what must I do, Lord? I'm kneeling down. I'm a good guy. I've done that which is right. And God says, don't call me good. There's none good. You're not good and nobody's good. Not only that, beloved, but the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, when I was a Catholic, I was very devout. My wife used to teach catechism. I had been elected to the parish council. I used to be one of the lectors that would go up front and read the missalette. I used to collect the money. And I was also, me and my wife had been selected to be sponsors for the engaged. In other words, when somebody was going to get married, they'd send them to us so we could give them advice. I think they all probably got divorced. But you know who was one of the couples that came to me? Ambrosio and Virginia. They're still sticking around. So maybe I did give some good advice. But you know, I was very Catholic. And one day, one of the priests died. We had two in our parish. He had died. He was on his way out of town to go visit La Virgen de San Juan with another lady. I don't know what they were doing. They got distracted and wind up hitting a big humongous truck and they died. But I went to their funeral and I remember being there with the priest because I thought I would maybe get some of his graces by being close to him. And I asked him, well, I guess he must be in heaven now. He says, no, he's not. I used to confess to him. You mean he had sins? He said, yeah, he's probably in purgatory. Because I know him real well. And I thought, you know, this guy, a sinner. And I used to confess my sins to him, a sinner, forgiving my sins. But it didn't ring. I didn't realize it. I had been fooled. I couldn't see the way straight. It had been cluttered with so many things. I couldn't see it. But you know, beloved, we have been fooled, or so many people have been fooled like I had, that maybe our goodness would take us to heaven. I'd like to take you to another place that I had not seen until they began to witness to me. Go to the book of Romans on chapter 4. The book of Romans, chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It's not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You know, not too many people have seen that. They don't understand. But if you're trying to get to heaven, it's going to be counted against you. How many people here work for nothing? And I'm not talking about those who volunteer their time for the Habitat for Humanity. I'm not talking about those who volunteer to be the Big Brothers. I'm not talking about those who volunteer for the nursery. Everybody works for a living. We work for wages. Nobody is that stupid. Even the ones we call dumb, the ones that are in the corners, the beggars, even they have a sign, work for food. They don't work free. But what if you would see somebody with a sign, I'll pay you to work for you? Wouldn't you lower your window and call him stupid? Wouldn't you say, what's wrong with you? No, really, I'll work for you, and I'll pay you for me to work. I would love to cut your grass, and I'll even pay you money to cut your grass. You would think they were the biggest fools. Yet, that's exactly what you do if you're trying to earn your way to heaven. That's what the devil is calling you. You're trying to work your way to heaven by your good works, and the devil is laughing at you. Look at that fool. He thinks he's going to get paid. He thinks he's going to make it. It's going to be a debt against him. That's what the Bible is talking about. Your works, if you're trying to work to heaven, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Somebody changed the sign. Salvation is by grace through faith.
Amen.
It is not of yourself. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
Lest any man should boast. So we see that the devil has been real busy changing signs. He has been cluttering that road. He has even obliterated. He has put all kinds of boulders in front. And people are just jumping into that white road that leads to destruction. That's where he tells you, hey, you're okay. I'm okay. Let's go back to the text. Back to Acts chapter 16. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here's another thing that the devil has done. He will use verses like this on belief, and he'll say, you see, he doesn't say to repent. But yet throughout the Bible, we see the apostle, even on chapter 20, he says, I didn't hold back nothing that was profitable to you. I preached to you repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also said when he seen his people, when he was about to go to heaven, he says, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. That's what Jesus says. But you don't find repentance here. And there are many that will say, these are the devil's crowd. They will say, you see, all you have to do is believe. It's just in your head. Just change your mind. Where's repentance here? You see, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But look at the man. Look at this jailer. He's coming already trembling, the Bible says. He's getting on his knees. He almost committed suicide. This guy had already heard the gospel. He had already heard that woman that had been crying through the city and saying that these men were the servants of the Most High God. She had done it for many, many days. You think he hadn't heard? He knew who he had in that jail. And when he just saw that miracle, he said, you know what? I can't take it no more. What must I do, sirs, to be saved? He got on his knees. Was it necessary for him to say, I repent, or you need to repent? Jesus didn't tell that to the man on the cross. He just said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus says, verily, verily, today you will be with me in paradise. That publican that went to pray, he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God looks at the heart. God looked at this heart. Paul knew the conditions. He saw that this guy was already broken. He didn't need it no more breaking. He was already broken. Is that how you came to Jesus? If you just came just making up your mind, okay, God, I accept you. Save me. And let's get going. And there's no brokenness. You know, what I see in the Bible is that he will not reject you if you come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. What he wants your heart.
Amen.
Salvation. My friend is not in a place, it's in a name. It's in the name of Jesus. You know, I received gospel tracts for 2 weeks. I was a Catholic. And I remember that the Lord was dealing with me real heavy. I would look at the Bible and I would see this is true. That's what my Bible says. It says that salvation is only through Jesus, only His name. I need to repent. But I had been all my life since I was a little kid that we could not go outside. We could not go and search anywhere else. They didn't want us to know. We were kept blind to the little missalette. They wouldn't even read us the Bible. And I went to a priest. I remember very clearly, I went to my priest and I says, you know what, I'm reading the Bible. I'd really like to know some more. Can you lead me? Where can I go? Instead of he saying, son, I'll teach you the Bible. You know, this is salvation. Let me show you salvation. They don't do that. And I'm telling you from experience, I've talked to many priests. I went to fingerprint many times where they would burglarize their place of where they lived. And I talked to them. Not a single one of them knows the Bible. I even had a debate with one with the highest ranking Catholic priest in San Antonio. He didn't even take a Bible. We went to discuss salvation. He didn't even take a sword. And I'm here with this priest and he said, well, you know what? Monday nights at 7:30, they meet right here. It's called the Charismatic Group. And I went. I wanted something more. God was already calling me. And I was in that place. Me and my wife walked in and everybody was in a little bitty group. It wasn't mass. It was just a little group of prayer. Somebody would supposedly teach the Bible. And they were all in one group. And me and my wife sat far apart from everybody. And they began to sing Christian songs that I had never heard before. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. And I remember I just cried, Lord, forgive me. Save my soul. Right there for about 30 minutes I cried and wetted my whole shirt. I asked the Lord to save my soul. It shocks people when you tell them, I got saved inside a Catholic church. But that's where I was. Salvation is not in a place. Salvation is in a name. Jesus Christ saved me. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can be on a cross. You can be in a foxhole. You can be at home. You can be at work. And you can ask the Lord, save my soul. And He'll save you right there. He's always ready to hear. But you know, I find also something else. I believe the devil has fooled so many people to say, well, I believe. I've talked to people that are not saved. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in anything. But they say, I believe. And they wind up going straight to hell. Do you know that my dad also believed? I witnessed to my dad and I witnessed to my dad. My dad was a drunkard, an alcoholic, an adulterer, and I know this. I won't tell you the story how, but I knew he was a bad individual. Two of my half-brothers wind up in prison, the example that he gave them. Nevertheless, when he's about to die, and I had witnessed to him many times, I said, Dad, where are you going? The doctor had already told him, you've got hours to live. And he told me, I'm going to heaven. And I said, Dad, why are you going to heaven? He said, because I believe. You believe in what? I believe I'm good. And he just tore me apart. That's what I had been telling him. Your goodness doesn't take you to heaven. And that's when the devil used his wife. And she says, leave him alone. He's got his religion. And it tears me apart that I obeyed her. I was tired. I didn't want to talk no more. It was time for him to die. But yet he said, I believe. There's no doubt in my mind that many people walk right into hell saying, but I believed. What am I doing here? I believed. You know what? The only thing that can save you is the Lord Jesus. It's not your works. It's not your religion. It's not Mary. It's only what Jesus did on the cross. If you would just repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus, He can save you right now. Amen. Right there where you're at. Salvation is not in this building. Salvation is not in any of us. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Let's sing 248. Let's stand up. The altar will be open. You need to deal with God. You want to ask the Lord to save your soul? You can come over, get on your knees, and ask the Lord to save your soul. You need to just deal with God on whatever else. It's opened. 248.